last few sermons I've been bringing, I brought one on God's design. How about the design and creation of this earth and all the things we have here? And then I brought one on the design of the church, which I've been ready to admit, I probably didn't get everything in there on the design of the church. And now I'm going to do one on the design of the gospel, and I want to quite clearly tell you quite plainly, I do not have it all. Just a minute, they didn't stay on where we're headed. I've not covered everything, for it would have been too long. You take that Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's talking about the gospel. From the beginning of the book to the death of Christ on the cross, it's talking about Jesus Christ and the Messiah that was to come, the Savior of the world, the King of kings, the Lord of glories, the kingdom. From the cross on the way to Revelation, it's pointing back to the cross of Jesus Christ. And so we got God to desire, the gospel is designed by Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to look at today. The gospel is through Christ, it is in Christ, it's of Christ. Any way you want to think about it, it goes to Jesus Christ. So if we look at this morning, I want you to realize I can't cover every trick and every detail. But I hope to get enough of it covered that we can see and understand the desire of the gospel. Some of these things in here I know about, it took me 6 years to understand and learn. So I hope that by doing this now, that you, before you get 60, will understand. You know, some of it I struggled with all that time when I obeyed the gospel when I was about 22 years old. I started preaching when I was about 30. And when I started preaching, I began to wonder about some of this stuff. And it took me a long time to understand. It took me a while to understand the design of the church. And the design of the gospel took even longer. Because people didn't preach it. It wasn't taught that way. We talk a lot about error. We teach about error, but the gospel itself, you know, obey the gospel, be baptized in Christ, a lot of times that's about as far as it went. And that's not the extent of it. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening morning the first day. We review this, so we'll realize that God created all things. And we review this, and we see that God spoke, and things happened, that all things were created by the Word, which was Jesus Christ. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, without Him was not anything made. So Christ made it all. He designed it all, including the gospel. He designed the gospel in His death. It said Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forevermore. Christ has never changed. He is that designer. He is that plan. And He set that plan in motion from the creation of the world. Before the world was ever spun, before men ever was on the earth, the design was built and set forth, and then when the earth came, it had put in motion. And it was going to take place. It's going to work it out as time and time it did. Genesis 3:15. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and they shall bruise thy head, and I shall bruise his heel. It's talking about Jesus Christ in the very beginning here in Genesis 3:15. From the first time man sinned, it's talking about Christ the Redeemer. Matthew 25:34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now we're going to spend a little time on that. You see, it began. It was all planned and designed in the beginning before the world was ever founded. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I was born in my wrath, as they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. It was already finished. That was something I had to wonder about. Finished? The work was finished from the foundation of the world? It's put in motion. It's finished. It's going to take its time working its way out, but it's finished. The work's already been designed, work's already been planned, and it's just going to have to follow the process to work it out. 1 Peter 1:20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. And who was that was foreordained to die on the cross before the foundation of the world? Jesus Christ. And now he's manifest for us. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Hebrews 9:26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And Psalm 4:7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of book is written in. You know, you look at the tree and sun and sky, and you might think, there's a God, as many people have. And they worship many different gods. Like some worship the sun, some worship the stars, and some worship rain, the wind, all that. They all thought they were different gods. But, if, you know, all the way you can know about Jesus Christ is in the book. You can't go out there without the Bible and find out one thing about Christ. You must have the book. And that's why God wrote the book, so that we might know Him and His Son. So it's written in the book about Christ. John 13:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent His Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You see, the world's already condemned. We're condemned already. And so the condemnation of us in this world has already happened, but God sent His Son that we might not be condemned. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ came to this earth so that we might be made righteousness of God. And the only way we can do it is in Him. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, and just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. You see, without Christ, we can't come to God. We can't approach God, because no sin can come before God. We read in the old Bible how they told the people, the Moses, to keep the people away, lest they run up there and look upon Him and die. God is so pure, so great and glorious, sin cannot approach Him. And so we could not approach Him with any sin. We would die. So Christ came to take that away, that we might be able to approach God at His throne through Him. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto God, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, but which also you say, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I received how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to Scripture. So we see that this was all done by the Spirit. The Spirit told the Apostle Paul to write this. Christ was raised from the grave by the Spirit. But I want to tell you, from the foundation of the world, God was for Himself. We read about Cain and Abel. I think Abel was supposed to make an animal sacrifice, which pointed to the blood of Christ. You read about all the rest of the sacrifices made after that, it's animal sacrifices. You can read about Noah going out after he left the ark and he offered up an animal sacrifice there to God. You can read about Abraham going out and building an altar, offering an animal sacrifice to God. You can read about Isaac and Jacob. They all made animal sacrifices to God. All these people made all these animal sacrifices pointing toward Jesus Christ. Without the shed blood, there was no atonement, Scripture says. So Christ was offered through these animal sacrifices over and over and over again. Then when you get down to Exodus 12, You read about a lamb being offered, the Lamb of God, and he's offered for the sacrifices of the people. And under the law, they had to do that once every year. They offered animal sacrifice for God. All of these animals that were killed back then, all of the shedding of blood that took place, was pointing forward to Jesus Christ. So that what God had predestined, predetermined, and set out from the foundation of the world, it was all of that pointing to this one event. One event that takes place in the middle of the world, in the end of the world, at that time, when the time was fulfilled and the time was right, Christ came and he was offered for sin. All of this taught man from the very beginning to have something else to lay on to take place of sin, as I just said. The little animals that were given, you know, they were up there for the atonement of their sin, to pray for their sin, to pay for the price of their sin. It was a substitution, you see, because of sins we were to die, so this was a substitute for you and I. Jesus Christ was a substitute for us on the cross. He took our sin there. He took our punishment. He was substituted in our place. And all this pointed to that was to take place. God was preparing man's mind to accept the fact that there would be a substitution for them, for their sin. And that's what this was all about. God designed the gospel to be free will. He didn't want us to be without a choice. He didn't want it to be something that we did, that we had no control of. He wanted us to choose to love him. He wanted us to make the choice to serve him. He designed us to have free will. He designed us to have free will. So we can choose whether or not to obey him, whether or not to love him. Like Joshua said to the Spartan in my house, we will serve the Lord. He chooses you today who you will serve. Look at Genesis 4:7. Right there, and you see a choice being set out. He told Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. We, through Christ, can rule over sin. Sin's desire is to conquer us, to take us, to cause us to fall. But we see, he set a choice for Cain. Cain made the wrong choice. He went out and killed his brother. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. He said he's telling us, make a choice. You have a choice. We have a choice today. We have a choice today whether we're going to accept Jesus Christ or we're going to reject Jesus Christ. We have to make that choice. We make that decision that we're going to come and be obedient to Christ, or we're just going to continue living in rejection and disobedience to Christ. We have to make that choice. And Peter gave them a choice. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He gave them an opportunity to choose what they would do. You see, the gospel is a free will. It's a free will gospel. And that we're given a choice as to what we're going to do about the gospel. God designed the gospel of grace. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that it might be the firstborn among many brethren. What does it mean by foreknew? God foreknew from the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ was going to die for the sins of the people, that he was going to have his kingdom, his church. He foreknew from the foundation of the world that there was going to be Christians and they were going to conform to the image of Christ. Now ask the question, how? I'm not going to answer that. I want you to think about that as we follow this discussion about the gospel. I want you to think about how. How is it we're conformed to the image of His Son? In Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace that you saved through faith, and that not, he says, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, but we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has ordained that with a certain work we have to walk in. God has saved us, though, by his grace. Salvation came by grace. We can't earn the salvation that God put down in this world. We couldn't earn it. No man was worthy of it. There was only one man that ever lived as a perfect man worthy to make that sacrifice, and that was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, He is that gift. He is that grace. That's the grace of God that brought salvation. That is salvation. You see, salvation is of Christ, it is in Christ, and it's of Christ, and through Christ. And so, Christ is that gift. He is the grace of God to us. Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:15. But now the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead. Much more the grace of God and the gift of God by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So there you see, Christ is the gift. Christ is that grace. Christ is that salvation that was given to all. John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So you see, there we have access by faith into that grace. And that's what we live in. It's what we stand in. What we rejoice for. There's much to be happy about if you understand the gospel today. You see, there's much to be rejoicing about. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He took our place. He was that substitution. He tasted that death for sin for every man. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also at once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that it might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. You see, before Christ, before we could not come to God, but through His suffering for sin on that cross, He was just, we're unjust. He did it for us, that we might be brought to God. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The gospel is the power of God to salvation or salvation. If you want to be saved, it has to be brought through the gospel. The word gospel means good news. What is the good news? What is that good news that he's talking about there? But we see it is the power of God. Hebrews 5:8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the offer of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. You want salvation? You want to have eternal salvation? You got to obey Christ. You have to obey Christ. And through that obedience to Christ, you're put into Jesus Christ, you're put into His grace, and in that grace, what a wonderful life we can have. So, we have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. God designed the gospel to be obeyed. We think about it a while ago. We talked about the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, then the gospel. God designed the gospel to be obeyed. Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for as I said, you have believed our report. In other words, if you don't obey the gospel, then you don't believe. Now you can say, I believe all day long. That don't mean you believe. You can say, oh, I believe in Christ, and I accept Christ my Lord, and He's the one to save me. But if you don't believe in that, and you don't believe to obey it, you don't truly believe. You haven't obeyed. You say you do, but don't mean you are. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, but first begin at us. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And he answers in 2 Thessalonians 1:8. He says, Christ is coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Christ. That's the end of them. When Christ comes back, they're going to be punished with everlasting destruction. They're going to be cast into everlasting hell. We're going to suffer that second death. If we have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then how we do it? What are we going to do there to obey the gospel? I want you to notice it is a one-time event. I've heard a lot of people preach that the gospel included everything that you do, you know. You're going, it's a life, it's a process, it's a working through. It's a one-time event. You obey the gospel. And we'll explain that a little later. Acts 6 and 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. He didn't say they were being obedient to the faith, they were obedient to the faith. It's something they did one time. They did something that was obedient to the faith. The faith in Jesus Christ. Now, what was it? Romans 6 and 3. No, you're not. There's so many of us that were baptized in Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the Holy Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. There it is. That's one time event. You come to Christ in obedience to him. You're buried with him in the watery grave of baptism. And we'll explain all that in a minute about water. And you rise to walk in the newness of life. You have a new life. Because sin doesn't have dominion over you anymore. The law of sin and death doesn't affect you anymore. And so you have a new life in Jesus Christ. And that's how you obey that gospel. The gospel, the fact that Jesus died for you upon the cross. Romans 6:17. Let God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that former doctrine which was delivered unto you, been made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. Free from sin. Does that mean we never sin? Well, that would not be right, would it? Scripture says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, even us today. Scripture, if any man say he has no sin, the light and truth not in him. So, what does that mean to be free from sin? You're free from the law of sin and death. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scripture. Now, here's what we obey, the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And we do that when we're baptized in Christ. We die for old men. We die to sin. We are buried with Christ. We are in the, like as Christ was buried, and we rise to walk in newness of life. That's a form of doctrine. That's what we obey when we obey the gospel. Death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That sounds like there's something you have to do. Be baptized. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you have been baptized in Christ, have put on Christ. That puts us into Christ, and on which we put Christ on. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we're all baptized in one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be bond or free, have been made all to drink into the one Spirit, in the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4 says there's one baptism, one faith, one Lord. So, you see, by the Spirit, which is involved in our baptism, there's also water involved, which you see. But in that operation of God, right then, it's one time event, we'll put into Christ. We'll put into the grace of God. We'll put into the church and body of Christ. 1 Peter 3:21, the last figure of one's in baptism does also now save us, not to put it where the filth of flesh, but to have a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, baptism saves us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He points out that it is an answer of good conscience toward God. It is an obedience to God. It's not a work of man, but it's obeying what God said to do to receive the grace, to be in the grace of Christ, to be in the body of Christ. Acts 8:35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began to say in Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on the way, they came in certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does it mean to be baptized? And Philip says, I believe with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down in the water, both Philip and eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, God is not God confused. He wouldn't tell you at one incident when he tells you to be baptized, he's talking about spirit. And another incident, he tells you to be baptized, he's talking about water. You see, baptism takes place in the water. And in that water, the Spirit can work because you're obeying God to make you a new creature. That you come up in newness of life. That you have a circumcision of the heart. And so, as we see this, there is water. And don't deny the water. Acts 22:16, and now why tearest thou, rise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, call on the name of the Lord. You're cleansed of all your past sins at that point. At that one point. When you obey that, all your past sins are taken away or put into remission. Sins are put in remission, that says in Acts 2:38, and Peter says, repent, be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yet the sin is put into remission. It doesn't have that effect on your life anymore. It doesn't have the power to condemn you, to separate you from God anymore. Because now you're in Christ, and you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost that lives within you, the Spirit. Colossians 2:11. And then also you're circumcised with circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, where also you're risen with him to the faith of the operation of God. Who was raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sin, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You see, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, there is the operation of God. And when you obey that, when you obey that command of Christ, that command of God, then you're in a special place in the eyes of God. You're in a very special place. Because you're now in the grace of God, which you were not in before. You're now in a place where God does not impute sin to you. You're there by faith. And you keep that faith in him. Colossians 1:13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The power of darkness was the power of sin over us. And that sin would condemn us because of the law. We could never be okay before God because we sin. If you ever come one way, you're guilty of all of the law. That's the difference. Big difference between that and being in Christ. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law. Sin doesn't have the power over you. You're not under that law. But under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. You can't just go and continue sinning. But guess what? You will sin again. But the great news is that sin that you made, that mistake that you made, doesn't destroy you from having heaven in your home. It doesn't kill you spiritually. That one sin won't. Romans 4:14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. But where no law is, there is no transgression. When you obey that gospel once, guess what? There's no law. Colossians 2:12 says he nailed the law to the cross. He nailed it to the cross. So it's taken out of the way. It doesn't have the power to condemn us anymore. 1 Corinthians 15:56. For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. You see, but the sting of death was taken away when you obey the gospel. It's done away with. As Paul said, O wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from this death? Because Jesus Christ is Lord. That sting, the sting of sin is taken away. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we're free from that law. Then what now? What do we do? We must fight against sin. You can't just go on living sin, breathing without sin. You know, if you turn back and you wind up loving sin and you continue in it and want to be in it and you like that, you're going to be turning away from the faith in Christ Jesus. You can leave it. You can quench it. You can put it away from you. But what we do is we fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. For they're called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. See, when we come to get away, don't study the gospel and be baptized in Christ, we make a confession of faith in Jesus Christ before many witnesses, before all the world. And so we now fight that good fight of faith. We fight against sin. You war against sin that is in your body and in your memory. And realize that once you lose a battle, you haven't lost the war. We might fall, we will sin, but we haven't lost the war. We got to get up and continue on fighting. Now, if you fall and you quit fighting, you've lost. You stop struggling against sin, you just let it be and let it happen all the much you want to in your life, you've lost. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. You see, that's how you keep the faith. You keep fighting against sin and you don't forget your faith in Jesus Christ. His power to save. His power to cover your sins. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in the Scripture that man must be found faithful. We have to be faithful in it. You can't give up to it. You give up to it. Give over to it. You've lost. You stop hating sin. It stops bothering you when you sin. You've lost the battle. You're not going to be saved. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sins. You know, we keep going on, walking. That's an ongoing process there. Walking in the light. That shows the process of moving forward in your life. Just like Romans 12:1-2, receive your brother, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of mind. That's an ongoing process we're going through there. So this is what happens after we obey the gospel. We walk in the light, we keep our faith, and the blood of Christ cleanses from all sins. And when we sin, we confess our sins. And he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. He said, we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and truth not in us. So we're continually in this process. We have fellowship one with another. You know, this part of this process is this church every Sunday, communion with Christ. Remembering our sins, remembering what covers our sins, being washed and cleansed over and over by Christ and his blood. Revelation 2:10. Fear not of those things which shalt thou suffer, but that you may be tried. We're all going to be tried. Be thou faithful unto death, and I give thee thy life. Be faithful in this process, the point of life, the point to the death, and you have eternal life. Like Paul said, I've kept the faith. I've followed the fight. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of life. He didn't say, maybe there is. There is. John 14:2. Jesus said, my Father's house of many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I prepare a place for you. You're not going to prepare a place for you. I was coming in and speaking to myself where I am. There you may be also. There's a place for us in heaven. Not only is he protecting us here, there's a place for us in heaven. 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. For those that will obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is from Peter 1:4, written to people who have obeyed that gospel. In Ephesians 2:13, now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. So by the blood of Christ, we're made nigh to God. But the design is there that you still have free will. You can fall. Free will is not taken away because you obey the gospel. Galatians 5:4, Christ becomes unaffected and you, whose will you are justified by the law, you follow the grace. How people say you can't follow the grace? Well, Paul says so. Plain. Black and white, red and white, whatever we call it. Right? The word's there. You follow the grace. Hebrews 10 and 29. Now let's show a punishment. Suppose ye shall be thought worthy of charging the foot of the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and holy things, and then despise the Spirit of grace. He can do despise the Spirit of grace. 2 Peter 2:21, for it's been better for them not to know the way of righteousness, and after they've known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. You can turn away from holding faith and the good conscience which some have pulled away concerning faith. I may shipwreck, you may shipwreck of it. You can quench the spirit. You can leave it. You can follow false teachings and lose it because you fall away of error. Have you obeyed the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ? I hope everybody can understand today that's how you obey the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. And when you're baptized, that is a picture or pattern or type of what you want to call it. It is what how God designed for us to obey the gospel. That's what He designed to be done, to obey the gospel. We're baptized for remission of sin. We have sinned until we're baptized. We're baptized into Jesus Christ, until we're baptized in the name of Christ. You're baptized for salvation. Galatians 1 and 6. I marvel that you're so suddenly removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some to trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. The gospel can be perverted. And that's something we have to fight hard about today in our country, in our society, the place where we live. The gospel is perverted. People have people over here walking in newness of life before they were buried, before they have been resurrected. They have them over here not being buried but sprinkled in such life, and so on and on it goes. But the problem is that they take right here, people are dying, trying to die to the old man and repenting, but they don't fall through. They tell them to stay here, and later on they are baptized for a different reason. You are to be baptized for your salvation, to be in Christ, to do the will of God. That death, if you die here and they tell you repent and you're saved right there, you're not in Christ. Your sins haven't been removed, and you're living a lie trapped outside of Christ. You might live a good life. You might be a good man. But you're outside Christ. That's a very dangerous thing. Because people who believe in that think they're saved when they're not. That's tremendous power. The man will live his whole life locked in this state and never get over here. They are the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. These people here were perverting the gospel and requiring that people have circumcision in order to be saved. I don't care what it is you require. If you require different from what God has said, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, you see there, if you were told, you're saved right here. It's not so. You're not saved until you're resurrected to a newness of life. You can't walk in newness of life until you've obeyed that death, that burial, that resurrection. And realize, you can't fall. That's our sermon this morning. Is there anybody here that's subject to the gospel call? That's never been baptized in Christ? You know, there were some people in Acts 19 that had to be baptized again. Because they were baptized not for remission of sin, but for repentance. Baptized for wrong reason. You see, if you're baptized because you thought you already saved, you're baptized for the wrong reason. And all that accumulates that sometimes people have to be baptized again. I don't care how many times a person gets baptized. I've been to them, I baptized 3 times, but they take 20 to do 20. We want to do it right, we want to be in Christ, they want to have eternal life. But that's what it takes to do 20. You know, that's what puts it in Christ. And when it's done that, then you're not held under the law of sin, but for a good conversation from God. That's the way a lot of fear, a lot of words, that we can live joyfully in Christ and have peace in our life between us and God. If you're here today and you find yourself not walking according to the Scripture, you find there's a thought in your life that, you know, that you might be going that way, You know, more sin you commit, the further it takes you away from that. Another sin will take you out of that security in the body of Jesus Christ. You hear this morning, so the gospel called either way, we get off any tongues, we stand and sing.